the day of independence, in fact, summarizes the sacrifices that the people of South Sudan have given for hundreds of years since the struggle started. It was a long struggle. It started by tribes on their own against a common enemy. People of South Sudan voted almost unanimously to become an independent state. In these number of years, there have been a lot of sacrifices. There are people who gave their lives for the sake of this country. There are people who lost their limbs and parts of their body in a struggle for this country. There are people who lost everything they had for the interests of this country. There are people who contributed in many ways for South Sudan to be free. This freedom is a freedom brought about by all of us, alive and dead, and therefore it is something to be proud about. And we mark it to remember those sacrifices, to remember those who struggled, to remember the people who gave their ultimate life for the sake of the country.
Since South Sudan became independent nation, what are some of the things that you may count as a success that independence of South Sudan has brought to the people?
Well, the success is a collective success that we were able to wade through the difficulties associated with the implementation of the peace agreement and finally voted as a people to get independent. That one is commendable. But otherwise, we have done nothing. To be very honest, the leadership has failed the people of South Sudan. Today, as we mark the fourth anniversary of independence, the country is bleeding. People are dying. Development has stopped, you know. So we are very sad that the hopes of the people and aspirations, they were not very high. They just wanted to live a normal life, you see, to get the minimal services, whether in health, education, water, infrastructure, and all this. And we had the resources, and we still have the resources. We have billions of pounds coming from oil, different billion of dollars coming from oil. We have huge pieces of land that are good for agriculture. We have enormous quantities of water that can be used for irrigation. But we chose the lazy way out to rely only on oil. And at the end of the day, when the fighting erupted, many of the oil wells were closed. And today the country or the government is running the country on loans. Loans that have now gone by admission of the Minister of Finance. When he was presenting the last budget some days ago, loans have gone to more than 12 billion pounds. So what are we going to give to the coming generations? A debt that they will not be able to pay because the oil would have run out. And at that time, they will be cursing us. So we are marking independence. But we are conscious and aware that we need to do a lot for that independence to get the meaning which people thought it meant. Independence didn't mean to raise a flag like that. No, this is not independence. The independence means that we run our affairs in a way that unites us, in a way that takes care of the weak before the strong, in a way that shows sacrifice. The leaders must show the way in sacrifice. The same way people gave their lives to sacrifice for the nation to keep us where we are today, the leaders also must take the lead in showing that they do care about the people. Not to be corrupted, not to become rich, not to have accounts abroad, not to have all kinds of properties. And while our common person is suffering under severe economic conditions that could have been avoided.
As a political leader that people know in this country, what would you propose or suggest or you as politician do together with the leadership now to make sure that the country run properly in the near future?
I sincerely hope from my heart that when we celebrate the fifth anniversary of independence, we would be a peaceful country. And therefore, the priority today, not tomorrow, should be to bring about peace. And the way to bring about peace is clear and easy, but only because the leaders have chosen to put their interests before the interests of the people. The leaders are talking about their positions about what percentages will the party of each will have in an upcoming transitional government, you see. They are fighting over something that has not yet come. So we are telling them that they should put the interests of the people ahead of their interests. The interests of the people should be number one. And what the people of South Sudan want today is peace. Because without peace, you can never have anything else going properly. You can never have services delivered. You can never have infrastructure improved. You can never even have people getting their food because they can't cultivate. And how long will you continue relying on food being given to you from abroad, from other people? Even if peace means that the current generation, they lose their positions, there will be other South Sudanese who will be able to do the job. This is what we want. We want the peace first. And once you have the peace, you lay the foundation for economic growth. Also, without being independent economically, you cannot be independent politically. This is the lesson the African countries learned very hard, in a very hard way, when they became independent around the early 60s and 70s. We were, yes, raising the flag, singing the national anthem and everything. But at the end of the day, if you can't feed yourself, you cannot claim to be independent. So South Sudan is a rich country. Only if the war can stop, then our potential can be shown.
From the viewpoint of your party and the parties that you represent, the alliance, do you see the current move by the ruling party trying to implement the Arusha agreement and reunification of the party? Do you see that as a signal that peace will come?
I don't think peace is related to the unity of SPLM. People are made to believe that if the SPLM gets united, then peace will come. This is not true, because they ignited the war, but they are not in control of the forces that were unleashed by the war, you know. Therefore, peace cannot come simply because SPLM have reunited. No, you need to do other things. Secondly, Arusha itself does not say that it will solve the problem. Arusha has made the unity of the SPLM conditional on a peace agreement. So Arusha alone will not bring even the unity of the SPLM. You need to get the peace agreement done in Addis so that now the Arusha can be complete and you can have a unity of the SPLM. Because Riek Machar is also part of SPLM. And Riek Machar can only come if there is a peace agreement. So how would you expect the SPLM as a whole to unite if peace agreement does not come? Because the people involved in the war are not only SPLM. The people, the tens of thousands who have been killed are not only SPLM. The more than 2 million people who were displaced are not only SPLM. The structures and all the properties that were destroyed, you know, in all these places do not belong only to SPLM. So where does this idea come from?
What would you tell the people of South Sudan?
Well, what I will tell the people of South Sudan is that, you know, they have suffered a lot during the previous wars. They are suffering again now with worse brutality in the hands of their own leaders. They should not lose hope that this is the end of the road. Tribulations are part of human progress and development. You go forward 2 steps, you get backward 1 step, but eventually you are going forward. The plight of the people of South Sudan is now understood internationally. So they are not alone. They are not left alone on their own. The friends of South Sudan are there to help. In the same way they have helped in providing relief assistance to the people, in the same way they help in relief assistance, they are also helping to see that peace prevails. Peace will come sooner or later. But it needs us all to be heard. We must voice our concern for peace, that it is a priority. Let us keep hoping that peace will come to our country.